You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on Monday's edition of the podcast. You can tune into Racing Radio on Monday, where hopefully we'll have some race meetings to bring you. It'll be Alex Dunn, Will Haler and Gareth Topham in the studio for those cards that beat the weather on Monday. Of course, none of them managed to beat the weather on Sunday, so we're hoping for better to kickstart the week. But we'll be previewing a couple of races on the card at Lingfield on this edition. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by John Budden. And we're recording this podcast at our leisure, John, because there's nothing else for us to do on Sunday.
Yeah, it's dreadful, isn't it, really, Sam? You know, the weather is absolutely appalling. And jump racing in the north has almost been a non-starter because of the cancellations. And, you know, I personally think that the Cheltenham Festival, well, was not ruined, but was affected by the weather and the demanding testing ground.
Yes, absolutely. Testing underfoot conditions for one or two horses. They'll be grateful, of course, that this snowstorm came after the festival, of course, because otherwise we could have been in real trouble. Enjoy the festival, though, John?
Yeah, I did enjoy the festival, yes. I was just a little bit disappointed by a couple of things. One, the northern horses, which I had hoped were going to, you know, take a serious hand in the competition, failed to do so. Cloudy Dream, I thought, was a bit disappointing, and definitely Red seriously disappointing in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
My goodness me, there were a lot of people who thought definitely Red would definitely get into the frame. Even in the hotel I'm staying at, the staff were still gritting their teeth with fury because they'd been told by at least half a dozen people on the day that definitely Red was going to win the Gold Cup.
Okay. Sam Spinner as well, John, a little bit of a disappointment in the stairs hurdle for Jed O'Keefe.
Yes, although in the sort of Cheltenham previews I did, Sam, I said, you know, fairy tale it would be, but Sam Spinner is a front runner, and it's terribly difficult to win a stairs hurdle from the front all the way. And I thought he ran pretty well. I mean, there were one or two people who suggested that Joe Collier could have gone a bit quicker at the top of the hill. I think that's a possibility.
Yes.
I mean, it's hindsight, so it's absolutely irrelevant, really. But had he just spurted away a bit at the top of the hill and opened up another gap of about five or six lengths, he might not have been swamped. He might not. But I wouldn't criticise him. I thought Sam Spinner ran pretty well, and he was faced with a very, very difficult task.
Yeah, it's a fair point you make, actually. The race has been a bit of a graveyard for runners trying to do it from the front. Who caught the eye then, John? Highlights for yourself for the week?
Oh, well, there was a tremendous... the Gold Cup had to be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for two horses to utterly and completely destroy what was said to be the most open Gold Cup for generations was quite extraordinary. And clearly the conditions underfoot suited Native River down to the ground. I thought Might Bite ran a tremendous race. I know I'm biased, Sam. I'm a Might Bite supporter through and through. But I really did think he put up a tremendous show on ground that he positively hated. And I hope they won't bring him out again immediately. I don't think they will. But if he is fit and ready to go next year on better ground, then I will back him to beat Native River every time. So that was the Gold Cup. Two other things I thought were outstanding. Altior,
yes.
Tremendous, really, because he didn't look as though he was going anywhere.
Mm.
And then Nico switched him out, and once he saw daylight, he absolutely sped away, like the class horse we know he is. Still sad about Duvain. Had he stood up? We don't know. But Altior was really great. And I thought, I always thought that presenting Percy would win the RSA, particularly with the ground in his favour. He's a nailing good horse, presenting Percy, and were it to be soft again for the Gold Cup next year and presenting Percy be in it, then I would be tempted to go in that direction.
Yeah, he does tremendously well, Pat Kelly as well, doesn't he, John, with his...
Yeah, tremendously well, and he was a bit unlucky with Maldini later in the week. I mean, he looked absolutely certain to win two fences out, but he didn't want to go past.
The racing never stops, of course, on to Saturday's action, where the Midlands Grand National was the feature race on the day. Again, ran in ground conditions, John, that are softer than we're usually accustomed to at this meeting. 4 miles, 2 furlongs on heavy ground. Not for the faint-hearted. The race was won by Regal Flow, who beat Milan's Bar and Ballymalin. A case of the horse handling conditions best, John, because that is at an extreme test for 4 mile 2 on that ground.
Yes, oddly enough, they didn't finish as tired as they might have done.
Right.
Fontwell was absolutely desperate. It could be World War One, trenches all over again.
No,
I mean, the ground was so demanding and tough. But actually, Yotoxeter wasn't quite as bad as it might have been. And Regal Flow absolutely cantered away in the end. I was pleased to see him win, actually, because I was fairly uncommitted. I went for a wild outsider. I thought the Scottish trained Plus Jamais might show a bit of form from 33-1, but alas, never really got into the contest at all. But Regal Flow, trained by Bob Buckler, which is, you know, a tremendous win for him. He's been a bit in the shadows for really quite a long time. But if you go back about sort of 10 years, Bob was a really top West Country trainer. And to produce Regal Flow, having won at Taunton, you know, only less than the week before, to go and win the 4 mile Midlands National in the manner he did was absolutely splendid. I think lessons always need to be learnt from the Midlands National, and one of them is quite definitely horses that have run well, even though they may have run well, but have done so in the Ida Chase at Newcastle about 3 weeks before, should not be followed in the Midlands Grand National.
Mm. Yeah, two hard races in the space of 3 weeks, John.
That's right, and you know, those long-distance races, they definitely leave a serious mark. And there were one or two Ida Chase hopefuls, like West on the Ridge and West on the Edge and one or two others. They never really showed.
Mm. You wouldn't know it for the weather conditions outside, but we are inching ever closer to the start of the turf season on the level. We're just a week away from the Lincoln meeting at Doncaster, obviously the traditional curtain raiser for the flat season, and you've got one to potentially follow this year, John.
Well, I just one thing I do hope is we have a dryish week and it's good ground, or relatively good ground at Doncaster. I thought Mick Appleby's Big Country got a big chance in the Lincoln. He is currently quoted around about 12-1. And this is a horse who's fit, very fit, and he's shown for the last two seasons excellent form on the all-weather. But people tend to put him down as an all-weather horse, trained by Mick Appleby, of course. They're really bound to be, you know, good on the sand, all that sort of thing. But actually, if you look at his turf record, you will see the Big Country won a very decent handicap at York last summer and was also placed in the John Smith's Cup, which is pretty good form for a Lincoln horse. So I should be shouting for Big Country in the Lincoln.
It's 12-1 Big Country for the Lincoln. Lord Glitter's the 6-1 favourite. And of course, John, now that Cheltenham's out of the way for the National Hunt fans, the countdown begins to Aintree and the big one itself, the Grand National.
It does indeed. There was one horse who I thought ran a tremendous Grand National trial at Cheltenham, and that was The Last Samurai.
Yes, of course, in the cross country.
He ran very well in the cross country. I mean, I was a Tiger Roll man, and Tiger Roll, oddly enough, is in the Grand National as well. But I thought The Last Samurai ran a really very, very good Grand National trial, and he looks to me to be coming back to form. The handicapper has just let him a little bit of leniency down the weights, and you know, he could easily feature again. a couple of others which sort of spring to mind. John Joe's had a really grey season so far, but he's a sort of typical bouncing ball, and he'll come back to win a big race. It might be the Grand National. Minella Rocco is his best hope. And won the four-miler, didn't he, 2 years ago or so? I remember the Welsh wizard screaming with delight as he did so. He, I thought, has got a definite squeak in the Grand National, Minella Rocco. And, of course, as far as the North is concerned, I'm not quite certain what's happened about qualifying now. But See You at Midnight is the horse we'll all be shouting for to give a second Scottish win in consecutive years. And he was due to run, of course, at Carlisle today, Sunday. And had he done so and won, he would have been nicely qualified for the Grand National. I'm just slightly worried about the fact that he hasn't run for some while over fences, and there may be something in the small print which keeps him out, but hopefully not. And if he does get there, See You at Midnight has to be respected.
I think you're right, John. I've got a feeling that he needs to run in another chase race before...
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain. Of course, there is time.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But it's running short, you see.
Yeah.
And today at Carlisle would have been an ideal go, and he would then had plenty of time to get over it, and he would have perhaps qualified. But yes, if he qualifies, I think he's a nailing good horse. See You at Midnight.
33-1 for See You at Midnight. Some of the others John touched on there. Minella Rocco is 20-1, and The Last Samurai is 16-1 for the Aintree Grand National coming up, of course, the 14th of April. We're going to look ahead to matters closer at hand now and tackle Monday's racing. Hopefully we get some racing on Monday, and we've erred on the side of caution with the previews. We've gone to Lingfield, which looks the most likely of the venues to be racing there, of course, racing on the poly track on Monday. We begin with the 3:25 race, John, a staying handicap over just shy of 2 miles. It's a class 5 event, and plenty of these have been running reasonably well over the obstacles of late.
Yes, they have. It's quite an interesting little race, this, I thought, and it could easily go to something like four or five runners. The top one has definitely got a chance. Give him time. Nick Gifford, I'd like to see Nick Gifford back in the winner's circle. He's had, knocking at the door time over the jumps, and this horse has, in fact, been in action in his time, giving him time over the obstacles. And when last running on the flat, he ran quite well against a horse called American Gigolo, second at Kempton. In fact, he came up against the horse twice. So he's definitely got a chance. And as I say, it would be nice to see Nick with the winner. Age of Wisdom is perhaps the form horse. I say form with slight question because the Gary Moore winner, and he's won twice in a row, was 5-1 on, I think, when winning a cellar two outings ago.
Yes.
And followed up in a small handicap at Kempton. He's in form, and who knows, he could raise the game again and be a danger in this particular race. Rosa Damascena represents Alan King, whose horses are running fairly well, but it seems some while since Rosa has actually made much of a mark, so I pass over that one. Interesting runner is Tor. Now, Tor could be really quite something in this race. Ian Jordan does tremendously well, does some Scobie, and he is sending his horse all the way down from Carruthersdown in Dumfriesshire to Lingfield. And Tor has not been out for some while, but did in fact run on the hurdles at Sedgefield in the autumn. He doesn't like hurdles, Tor. He's much better on the flat. And he won some really decent races in the summer last year, notably one at Musselburgh. And I think Tor is an interesting runner here for James Gormley in the saddle and could go quite well. We've got Ardemir, two in the contest, and we've got the one that I'm probably going to go for, Cliffs of Dover. Mm. Cliffs of Dover is being slipped in at the bottom by Paul Nichols with his daughter Megan in the saddle. A course and distance winner last time out, so he acts on the surface, and five times the winner over hurdles. And I think Cliffs of Dover, with a good recent form, has an excellent chance of getting into the contest and winning for the Nichols family.
Cliffs of Dover then, the choice for John in that 3.25 contest at Lingfield. On to the 4.25 at Lingfield. Then a handicap this time over 7 furlongs to us for us to assess. 14 runners line up here. John, talk us through these.
This is a weak moment for me, Sam. I go for these handicaps and they fascinate me. In the red is top of the list and is not without a chance for Martin Smith. In the red is quite a decent horse. Has been running over a mile on the last two occasions. Comes back to 7 furlongs here. Could be very much up his street. Then we have Time to Reason. Now, Time to Reason used to be with Johnny Murta. He won a couple of races for Johnny Murta in Ireland. He's now with Charlie Wallace, and it didn't do too badly for him last time out. Finished a reasonable fifth, and perhaps has got to step up the form a little bit. Tony Carroll has had a quiet winter, but his horses seem to be coming out of it a little bit, and I thought Pour La Victoire has got to be seriously thought about here. Has run twice at Lingfield recently, finished fifth, and before that finished third. He's not a great horse, but this isn't a great race, and Pour La Victoire could certainly be involved in the finish. And then we come to the one that I'm going to go for, which is Mick Shannon's horse, Say Essie. Mick Shannon, he puts in these winners, but then the next time, will he win again? It's always a worry, Sam, because he's such an in-and-out trainer somehow, Mick Shannon. He goes, you know, 3 weeks or a month without touching a winner, then all of a sudden, bang.
Yes.
And then it happens again. But CSE actually won rather well last time out, and Callum Shepherd is in the saddle again. Course and distance winner, still on a decent mark. I would say the interesting thing about this race, really, is the fact that all the fancied runners are drawn high. Say Essie is, in fact, drawn 14, as you said, out in the car park, which is about right. But, in fact, the other fancied runners are drawn between sort of 9 and 14, so it may not be quite such a disadvantage. And I'm going to go for Say Essie.
Say Essie for John, then, in the 4.25 race at Lingfield. Hopefully Lingfield beat the weather. They begin at 2.20 on Monday. Alex Dunn, Will Haler and Gareth Topham will be in the studio for any racing that we do have that beats the weather on Monday. So hopefully you can join us for all of that. John, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always. And enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.